Well, good afternoon. Hey, we've got two great guests lined up for today's show. It's a mouthful, but we're joined by Indiana Department of Natural Resources Division of Historic Preservation and Archaeology to discuss their upcoming Women at Work conference. We go straight to the edge again with Paul Petit. Then we welcome Scribfolio, a product sure to help foster creativity and exploration in Indy's kids. All that and more today on the Edge.
Your audio and video source featuring Indianapolis tech trends, marketing industry champions, and business innovation. This is Edge of Indy, broadcasting from Edge Media Studios. Let's get today's conversation started.
That's how an intro's supposed to go. If you saw last week's show, I don't know what happened there. It just fell apart. But, hey, welcome back to Edge of Indy. It's always a pleasure to be able to host from Edge Media Studios. I'm the CEO of Site Strategics and the title sponsor for the show of Site Strategics, Aaron Sparks. And to my right is Brittany Simpson, who is the Director of Marketing Services. Brittany, how are we doing today?
I'm doing okay. I'm really not coughing yet. So you got all the words right, and I'm not coughing. So we are just nailing it right now.
We probably should just drop the mic right now and walk off.
Good night, everyone.
So the reason why we do what we do here at Edge of Indy is predominantly we focus on Indiana and Indianapolis movers and shakers, organizations, causes that we want to lift up and be able to show to Indianapolis of who's really caring about the city and why they make Indianapolis such a great place to work, live, and visit. So check out all the different shows we've had in the past. We've had a great number of guests, and we always appreciate your contribution to the show as we're doing this live Facebook as well as audio podcast on a weekly basis. But we are focused on choosing local and choosing local often. That's why we do what we do here at Edge of Indy. And I would like to introduce to you somebody else at the table here. This is Jeannie Reagan Dinius, Indiana DNR, Director of Special Initiatives.
Thank you for having me.
You have given me so many things to speak just in the
title, yes.
Thank you so much. Well, you're joining us from the Indiana Department of Natural Resources Division of Historic Preservation and Archaeology.
I have tried to write that as many times as I could between now and the start.
It's easier just to say DHPA.
You probably should have said that before, but
I gotta test you.
So give us a lowdown on what you folks do at
DHPA.
PA.
Put a C in there, too. You should.
Sure. We do cemeteries. So we do work with cemeteries. So there's that.
Oh, wow.
All right. So we are the State Preservation Office. Uh-huh. We deal with both the state and the federal level with state laws and federal laws dealing with the preservation of the built environment. So bridges, cemeteries, buildings, archaeological sites. We offer grants to non-for-profits to do work. We encourage people to do preservation. We do a lot of content, which is where the conference comes in, and encouraging Hoosiers to know more about their history, deal with cemeteries, preservation. I get paid to play in history.
That's an awesome thing.
I have the best job in the whole state.
Boom.
Boom. There. Drop my mic.
Please don't. Please don't.
It's bolted to the table. You actually can't.
Oh, that's awesome. And history is such a fascinating environment, especially Indiana history. And that's something that we need more and more to understand where we come from in this city and in this state. And a lot of times, historic preservation societies don't get the limelight. They don't get the visibility that they so certainly need because, I mean, what you're doing is it's the essence of what we talk about, choosing local.
Exactly. And like the preservation makes a community special because I can go out to any suburb and it looks like any other suburb. But when you preserve the historic fabric of your community, the downtown, it looks like a different downtown. So where we were talking about San Francisco earlier, it's a great place because of the history that's there and the history that you can see. Downtown Indianapolis is a great place, and it's better than just a strip mall along a road that could be anything else. And so getting that, it was great for you guys to invite us here because it kind of gives us some promotion of some things that we're doing and showing people how they could learn a little bit more about Indiana history.
I dig it.
One of those things is the Women at Work conference coming up on April 6th. Can you tell us a little bit about that event and then who you think might be interested in attending or who you want to put a call to action out for them to come to the event.
Well, for the bicentennial back in 2016, there was a group of us sitting around a table talking about what we should do. And we decided to do a history conference. And we focused specifically on women at work. And work and women's work is a very vague thing. So it was just a variety of different things that women were doing. Because we find that a lot of the articles in journals and in academic journals don't focus on women. We don't get a lot of it in school. And so it's a missing part of our Hoosier heritage. So we created the conference 3 years ago. So this is our third year. And this year it's Women in the Arts. And again, that arts is nice and vague. So we have somebody who's going to talk about architects. And cool. So, and then artists. We have someone talking about Mari Evans, who was our late poet from the city.
Right.
We have somebody talking about pornography and the anti-pornography movement in Indianapolis, and kind of just a little bit of everything in between. So that art is a very vague word, and we like that because it's more than just a painting. And then work, again, is this anything that you do is work. And so this is for anybody from academic historians to someone who's just like, you know what, I'd love to learn about that. I'd love to come to a session that talks about Mari Evans or a session that we've got, again the Indianapolis Anti-Pornography Ordinance of 1984. And if you were around in the 80s and you remember that, I remember that growing up, I was in high school when this came up and they were trying to shut down all the pornographies, bookstores and things like that. And so that's, it's long enough ago that we're looking at its impact and did it matter. And so, it's just a variety of people can come. It's at the Harrison Center. They're on at 16th and Delaware Street. And afterwards, they're going to do an art show of women artists. So it's kind of a nice way to end the day. And it's, it's open to anyone. It's only $20, $15 for students, and it gets your lunch, too. So all we're trying to do is get people in the door and cover our costs. So it's a great way for us to talk about history, network with other historians. Mm-hmm. And from this, we've actually been able to put things online. We get some of the papers online, so people, even if you can't come, then you can read it. We've encouraging new research from college students. Mm-hmm. There's a prize for grad students for this year, the Indiana Women's History Association, which is a statewide organization geared at trying to preserve women's history. They're providing the award for the best new research by a grad student. So we're encouraging people to learn about history, but also encouraging people to do new history.
Too cool. There's so much packed into that event, but let's go a little bit 30,000 foot level on the appreciation of history in Indiana. There's so many great stories. Do you see, and I want to certainly stoke up our audience, do you see the appreciation of history ebbing away right now or consistently growing in its space as it comes down to maybe the new generations?
Well, with the bicentennial that we had 2 years ago, it really boomed, and it was great. There were so many things going on, and as I did programs across the state, people were excited about it, and that excitement hasn't gone away.
Good.
So people are still excited about history and and knowing more about what their community did. And I think they found some things during the bicentennial that has made them want to find a little bit more, do a little bit more. So so it's great to see that. We get teachers coming to some of this workshop. The Indianapolis Public Library, they send like 6 or 7 of their librarians to make sure they get the information.
Right.
So this is a really great way to provide that for people because the excitement is still there.
So we've talked to a number of people focused on local business, and what a great connection. And they, even though they know it or not, they are truly tapping into roots of history and growth in the arts environment as well as the business environment. And a platform such as yourself gives a lot of confirmation to businesses that they're plugging in well and they're wanting to give back. I mean, I just see the context here as something that if you expand and do more and more outreach with businesses, they'll lap it up and they'll champion getting back to the history of Indiana and Indianapolis on a regular basis.
And some of these businesses have been around for generations.
That's right.
And they're excited that when people talk about the building that they used to be in, one of their founders, looking at somebody from the 1850s who came from Germany, came over here and started a business, and all of a sudden we're talking about this law firm that now is. And so they're excited about that. And so not just this conference, but all the work that our partners do, because it's not just DNR that's a partner in this, also the Indiana Historical Bureau, which is a state agency, the state Indiana State Library, which if you've never been in the state library, you need to go. It's a magnificent building. The Grand Hall is one of my favorite places in the city to go. You just can stand there and stare at this beautiful, back when architecture was about form and function. So it's just a beautiful building. So you can go in there and not only read a book, but see some great architecture. So all the work that we're doing, even outside of this conference, is a great way to bring the community together to show how long we've been here, how we're doing things together, how we've had strife and gotten over it, how we've had conflict in the city and there's been issues and we've gotten over it. They're actually trying to make the Kennedy King Memorial now a national memorial that Representative Carson is trying to put forth. So that's another way to remember our city and remember our history and positive on the national level. So this conference is just one small thing that we're all doing to kind of move things forward in the city together.
Can you give us a better idea of women's history in Indiana? What are some of the figures that stand out in your mind, and what has their role been in our state's history?
Well, we've always had women in Indiana.
We're very thankful
for that.
Lucky
for all of you. Lucky for all of you, yes.
We would have been around here.
Doing lots of things alongside their husbands. But just unfortunately, the way that society was is that they were not seen as a mover or a shaker.
Right.
So whether it was Native Americans and the women were part of the hunting gathering movement, whether it was the pioneers and the women were alongside clearing the land and getting things, making sure that everyone was fed also, to even when the city with our movers and shakers and their wives were there doing reform stuff. They were part of the hospital, creation of the hospital, the creation of the symphony, creation of the library system, because they were volunteer. You know, they were volunteer works. They were in that public sphere, or they were working because they had to work to feed their family also. So because their one income was not capable. So we've always been here doing things. It's just haven't had the research done about that. And that's one of the things we hope to do is to show the research, show the women. There's some women doing some work on Muncie that are coming to the conference and talking about, we always think of the Ball brothers. Well, there were Ball women, too, who were doing just as much stuff and were able to, because of the income from their husbands, were able to be a part of the society in a volunteer basis.
Now, a good deal of philanthropy there as well.
Yeah, a lot of philanthropy and made things happen that way. It's a big word.
It is.
Yes.
I think I'm worded out.
I could not look at you for that one. Almost. I got
over the hurdle.
It was enough that we knew what you were saying.
Yes. So, yes, that philanthropy.
Now she's just lauding it in front of me.
Yes, just gonna say it again and again. this conference and then the work we do just adds to Hoosier history. It doesn't replace it. It just adds to what we know about what people were doing, how they were living. There's a group from St. Mary's of the Woods College going to talk about rural women and their work with arts. There's going to be a woman talking about children and how children have been involved in arts in the city. So, you know, it's just a way to build on what we already know about this with the great state that we've
That's
got.
Right. That's great. You're fine. I'm just
thinking about our history.
I was soaking it in.
Deep thought, yes.
I was thinking back to all those years. There are groups specifically dedicated to, like you said, researching and preserving history here in the city. Can you tell us more about that specific work, what people are doing to...
We are so lucky in the city of Indianapolis. I mean, I talk to my peers in other cities, and we just have a lot here, and it's because of the philanthropy, I'm going to use that word again, individuals
we can tell you've said that a couple thousand times in your life.
So we have the Lilly community, the Lilly Foundation. We've got so much. We've got groups like that the Glicks, who have helped fund the Indiana Historical Society. So we have an amazing historical society, one of the largest in the country, doing amazing stuff. We have the Historical Bureau, a state agency, the State Library, our office, the Women's History Association. There's a society of archivists, a society of museums, and we're lucky because of the business community has helped fund us and helped different groups and has donated to these groups. They're able to you know, we can have a lot of things going on. So, yeah, and I talk to other peers or I go to research someplace else, and I'm like, what do you mean you don't have that? We have that in Indiana.
Wow.
So I think a lot of people think, you know, Indiana's, you know, country bumpkins and things like that. But when it comes to our history, we've done a great job of saving it. One of the great things is that it was a combination of the Indiana Historical Society and the State Library. And they went around back in the 70s to almost every county, or they went to every county and found every newspaper and scanned them. And they're on microfilm.
Whoa.
You can go to the State Library right now, go find a newspaper from South Bend from 1850 and read it.
No way.
And now they're starting to digitize them so that we can find them online. And so they're all in one place. And they were done back in the 70s mm-hmm. through a variety of different grants and mechanisms that way. We've saved our history that way. Lot of states, you don't have that. And so in trying to find a newspaper and you're like, even if you're like you're a genealogist, you could do that at the State Library. It's amazing. Mm-hmm. The Historical Society's got some of those pieces too. And then they gave copies of those microfilms to the local libraries. So we're sharing it. So it's not just all in Indianapolis. And so South Bend's got theirs, mm-hmm. Evansville's got theirs. And so we've had projects like this going on for decades. Mm. We've got the universities with some of their master's programs in history and preservation so that we're training the new ones, you know, people coming up.
Right.
And there's just a lot of professionalism and a lot of fun going on. The picture behind you is up at the dunes. I love that house. We call it the pink lady house.
Yeah.
It's a great one up at the Lake Michigan. It was a part of the Chicago Expo, and so they built it in Chicago. And then after the Expo, they were going to just tear all these down.
No.
Yes.
It's so cute.
It's adorable. I love that. And so a developer brought them across the lake to Indiana. Mm. And so they're all up there now. So, yeah, we deal with preservation of great buildings like this and talk about the history of it. So you can talk about the expo and kind of what's going on there. We've got some great stuff in the state, and we're doing a lot. The group that's kind of spearheading the preservation of that is Indiana Landmarks, mm-hmm. the largest in the country, a membership group related to preservation. So all this is in Indiana.
Wow.
Things going on.
Yeah,
and we all work together. It's great. You know, I talk to these people all the time. They're my friends and my colleagues, and we get a lot done because we all work together, and we're able to do this. Kind of goes back to that business community, and because of community, mm-hmm. It's really been a great way for us to save our history.
That's amazing to be able to see such a rich series of individual groups all working together. And unfortunately, it's just not publicly known how much is invested by the business community mm-hmm. into these different organizations, let alone what all these different organizations are doing, because you guys... I say you guys collectively, there's so much passion of these particular disciplines.
Yep.
And you are forging the way for others to be able to pick up the baton down the road. And there needs to be that new level of awareness of what these organizations are doing.
We have a tendency in the history community to talk to each other.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, we all like each other. We talk to each other. We can get into in-depth conversations about some very bizarre, minute little details of things.
Right.
We need to do better at getting out to the public. Mm-hmm. The conference is one way to do this. Your show has been a great way for us to do that. And
cool.
I told Brittany, I'm like, what topic do you need next? We can talk about a lot of things. So we just, I mean, it's a combination of things is that, we like to talk to each other. We just need to get out more. And a lot of historians and people in that field are a little introverted. They like mm-hmm. to do their research. They like their old books.
Right.
So we've got some blame to take on this too, but we're fixing it. There's a lot of things going on out there, a lot of exhibits and people doing things that are exciting. There's articles in the paper and Nouveau and things like that that are constantly showing that history, and we're trying, and I think we're doing a lot better. We're doing better than when I was a child.
I was just about to say that. I'm gonna unload that a little bit. When I was in school, and I don't know why I'm proclaiming this to the entire city of Indianapolis, but let's go there. When I was in school, learning history for me was not fun when I was
It was
in
painful.
School. It hurt. Like, it physically mm-hmm. pained me. It didn't make sense. You know what I mean? Like, chronologically, I couldn't get things in order. If I had learned from somebody like you, though, in this capacity versus read this book, read this paper, read this, I feel like people would take to history so much better in this arena than they would a fourth grader forced to read a book that was written in the Lord knows when.
And it's Texas and military battles. That's all you learn about.
Yes. And wars, and that's it.
That's all you learn about. And see, where then I'm a social historian, so I'm about the society and people. And I always tease, I'm a gossip of the dead. Mm-hmm. So if I gossiped to you about dead people, you would love it.
And then
you
I'd
would
be into it.
You'd be into it. And there's a whole thing about how we talk to the public, how we get our medium, what our medium is, and how we get it out to the public. Mm-hmm. And it's growing and it's improving. The digital and technology is improving, and we're being taught how to use it and stuff like
but
that.
But schools should keep that in mind too.
Mm-hmm. Yes,
little kids. Like gossip too. So
exactly.
If you make it sound like so and so's talking trash about so and so somebody else.
Exactly.
Yeah. All of a sudden they're digging in and understanding a heck of a lot more.
Well, look at how Hamilton's done the play.
That's yeah.
Because it's a new medium. You know, just some historical deviations. And it's literary license.
They took liberties.
It's literary license and stuff like that. But it shows that people are interested in history.
Yeah. Right.
I mean, you look at some of the programs on TV that are popular, The Crown and Victoria, and you can see some of these shows that people like it if you tell it right.
Yep.
And you don't have to be – you can be historically accurate, but just tell it better. And that's one of the things we're working on. And I hope that, you know, again, that some of the projects that we do in our office – portrays that.
Yeah,
and it does
I pick up what you're putting down.
Yeah. Well, you particularly are digging into a lot of women's history and Underground Railroad history as well as cemeteries. So how did you get into this, and what's the source of your passion?
I can't imagine doing anything else. I always tease that math is hard and science is icky. But I really,
you're not wrong on either of those fronts.
That's not why the way my brain works. No. Since I've been little, I've loved history. It's all I want to do. It's all I want. I mean, at night, at home, what am I doing? My genealogy. You know, it's what I do.
Oh, genealogy is good.
Yeah, it's again, gossip about the dead.
Your dead relatives.
Exactly.
What could be better than that?
And so for me, it's what else would you do? So I was lucky enough to go to Ball State, and they have a program there called Public History. So it's history for people who don't want to teach in a fourth graders, but you want to work with the public.
Right.
And then I was lucky enough that IUPUI has a master's in public history. So I'm from the they teach you how people learn and how do people understand history, along with how do you do good history. And I did some internships and was lucky enough to land a job with the state. I've been there 17 years now and love every minute of what I do.
You're good. You have a great energy.
Yeah. I got a lot of energy, yeah.
I want to learn from you. I do.
You're all choked up there.
My mint's really hot right now.
But you're not coughing.
I'm not coughing. Well, it's time to pop another one. So
we want to circle back around to the Women at Work event.
Yep.
So give us some highlights real quick of the date and time and a couple things, again, for our audience, just to make sure that they're dialed in.
All right. So April 6th is a Friday. We're going to be at the Harrison Center at 16th and Delaware. Registration opens at 9. We'll start about 10. You get some donuts, because, we're all about food, too.
Yeah, we are.
It's important.
All right. And then we've got some breakout sessions, some educational breakout sessions. We've got a keynote speaker. She's was a professor, but now is going back to school at Heron. So she's at IUPUI, and she's going to talk about art and women and gentrification, talk about what that's done and what that means. Some more speakers. We're going to have women in music talking about some different women who have done some integrated popular music and done some oral histories on the symphony.
Oh, cool.
We got women and children, women in material culture. So we're going to have the Marie Webster House in Marion, Indiana. That's a quilt quilt museum, because Marie Webster started the pattern books for quilts in the 30s and known nationwide. Mm. So they're going to talk about, that material culture, because it's a part of art. And then at the end, we're going to actually have some artists. We have the former poet laureate. We've got a painter. And then Katrina Mitten, who is a Miami Indian of Indiana, and she's going to talk about beadwork. And they're going to talk about how they use history to incorporate it into their art.
Wow.
So instead of talking about history of art, we're going to talk about current art and how we incorporate history into that. And then afterwards, we're going to go look at the art exhibit and socialize. You can go to www.in.gov/history. That's the Historical Bureau's website.
Oh, cool.
Register on there, and hopefully we'll see everyone there.
So Sounds like a great event, and it's certainly family-oriented. And if you want to get your family plugged into Indiana history and understanding women in history in the state of Indiana, this is the place to be. So we certainly want to give a shout-out to a lot of the organizations that we talk to regularly, championing women in business and women in entrepreneurship. This is the underpinning of where you come from. So bring your family, bring your children out there, and be able to learn a full slice of history and be able to fire up that next generation. It's fantastic for you to be here. Thank you so much.
Thank you for the invite.
You'll be back. Don't worry.
Don't worry back. I'll teach a little history next time. We'll do a topic about.
Yeah, just bring me like a one-sheeter every time you come, and I can learn history.
There you go. Okay.
Too cool. So make sure you check him out at in.gov, in.gov/DNR/historic to check out their department, as well as check them out at facebook.com/INDHPA. Any final words for maybe wannabe historians that are in school right now?
Read. Learn cursive. I know it's hard. Get a read. Learn your cursive and get involved in the things that are going on in the city. There's so much potential for classes and exhibits and fun things to do. Mm-hmm. And there are a lot of mentors out in the city that'll kind of help you along and see what you want to do.
I love it.
Just dig into it.
Just dig into
and read.
It.
I was gonna get that pun across the deck if it killed me. So
we're digging Indiana.
Thank you. See, there it is. Awesome.
Boom.
All right. So we're gonna dig into some more Edge news with Paul Petit coming up right after this. Well, this was such a tedious investment in the Indianapolis community. We wanted to really help NX3 shine. It's a fantastic opportunity to be able to bring Site Strategics and everything that we've been able to grow to be here over the last few years, and then plug into the community, be able to help, be able to support a number of brands that are here. But more importantly, really, it's a gathering for our team to really just get out of the office and just have some fun together. A lot of times we're working so hard that we don't see a lot of the tech startup community. And this is exactly why we moved downtown, is to be able to have that connection. And this was a great platform to be able to really roll out what we do. Last year was the year of pivot. I mean, we left the South Side, knew that we had to be downtown in Indianapolis just because of the technology scene. And on top of that, we tripled our footprint, our square foot footprint downtown to make room for our live cast studio, as well as be able to expand into a much larger collaborative space for all our employees. Our role in the tech community is going to take off like a rocket ship. It honestly is, we look to help give lift to so many companies with our digital marketing tactics, as well as our studio, to be able to paint the picture, tell the why story of so many of these organizations. We've got a great team of videographers, be able to, podcast technology that is surpassing almost everybody in the country. And I'm really proud of this convergence of skills and technology to help tell a story for all of these other companies. We have organically grown, and we are now bringing a great number of really sharp people into our organization, because it's time to do that now. And with everything that we've been able to invest in from skill sets and technology, we are now really able to tell our own story as well as so many other companies. And I got a lot of pride in who is part of this organization now. I'm proud of each and every individual that works for Site Strategics. There's no way I could have ever done this without a good deal of blessings and a good deal of really caring people to get us to this degree. And I'm just so excited about what we're about to do. The next couple of years is just gonna be fantastic.
So Edge of Indy is a weekly Facebook Live broadcast where we interact with some of Indy's best and brightest movers and shakers, promote our internal brands, so Site Strategics and Edge of Indy itself. Additionally, we wanted to really connect Indianapolis and form connections with people we might eventually want to do business with. You know, small mom and pop businesses or restaurant startup companies, small to medium sized businesses, some of Indy's bigger organizations. You know, there's a lot of good things happening, but a lot of times you're either missing it or you're so tied up in your day-to-day that you don't know what's going on. And so this is just a quick and easy way to learn about awesome things going on in our city. Edge of Indy is less than a year old, and within that year, we've had over 155,000 Facebook Live views, over 1,000 individual show shares and show likes. And then in terms of show downloads of the podcast itself, there have been over 4,000 of those. So what I want to say about Paul Petit is that he brings definitely a new energy to the show. It's kind of a dad energy. He and Aaron like to swap the dad jokes and make it like a dad versus dad thing. And then you've got this blonde girl in the middle, this millennial that's just like, oh, dad. And it's always nice to have him. He brings a really fun energy, and it's always good to know what weather lies ahead. We have a lot of big plans for what lies ahead. We are looking for sponsors. So to get companies engaged and kind of getting their backing and support in the community, maybe one day have more than one show a week. That's something to build towards. We are looking at having on-site live shows on location other places. So taking it out of the studio, packing it up, and going to our guests and interviewing them there. You should definitely tune in every week because we've got some great guests who really need some support here in Indianapolis. Just fun and a light, easy way to learn about what's going on. Tune in for some great, happy, lively, fun conversations.
Real life. Real stories. Let's see what's trending in Indianapolis. This is Paul Poteet on The Edge.
What is that? Is that medication? Is that medication that I can use? What is that?
This is some medication for Aaron since he couldn't be with us today. Oh. I just wanted to feel more tropical because, it's snow on the ground. You like that?
We're going to talk about that in a minute because I have a bone to pick with you. I did not expect what is greeting us out there today.
Raise the dead. This is this is some kind of the smallest rum bottle in the world. Anyway, it's from down in the Caribbean and local hot sauce, too.
You have rum? It's rum?
I know, but I won't just drink it on camera. That would be unsightly.
That would be unladylike.
But so refreshing.
Hi, Paul. How are you?
Hi, how's the bee?
I'm hanging in there. A little bit sick, but there's a show to do. Dang it.
Yeah, sound totally normal. No one was able to tell.
So I hate how I sound. So if I'm offending the masses, I'm very sorry.
Well, how would you feel if someday somebody took a recording of you, and even when you're not around, when you're really sick, after you've died?
Oh, okay.
That we could still have you on the show every week.
Like a hologram version?
If you could live on forever, would you? Is our story number one from On the Edge. And first of all, spoiler alert, my answer is no.
No.
At some point, I'm done. I expect to be done in about 10 years, frankly,
you stop your nonsense.
Swedish scientists are looking for volunteers who are willing to offer up their dead relatives. Bring out your dead relatives. Offer up their dead relatives for a study that would use artificial intelligence to reconstruct their voices, allowing them to communicate. The futurist says it's only a matter of time before technology would, in effect, make us immortal. Well, that's, first of all, I disagree. And second of all, a little note here that Elon Musk, the famous Elon Musk, has an entire company dedicated to doing that. It's called Neuralink. So theoretically, the androids would be fully conscious copies of your relatives. So if you really were, attached to Aunt Mary, you'd have to have recordings of them speaking or something, right?
I don't know how that would work, and I don't know that I like the idea of it.
So that's in the year 2525, I'm doing family leisure commercials. You know how it all happened. I'm doing the weather. Partly cloudy today. Snow tonight.
Oh, that's really weird.
Do you want to live forever?
No. When it's time, it's time. And
right.
My hair still needs to look good. And when it doesn't look good anymore, then.
Yeah, which you do you preserve? Do you get to go back? That's have you ever wondered about, this will blow your mind. Have you ever wondered which you that you might look like in heaven? Am I going to be 25-year-old Paul? Am I going to be,
I don't know how old I'll be, but my hair will look like this.
You're having a really good hair day.
This will be my hair color. And this will be what the hair is.
Well, that's heaven. You get to choose your hair color and no product is involved or anything. It's
and
just...
I might be a little taller in heaven too. We're just gonna see how that works.
Wish I was a little bit taller. God. Well, anyway, that just freaks me out. But anyway, so no, okay, we both decided we don't want to live forever, but we do want to make it through the next two stories. Is that right?
Yes, am I right, Brittany? I'm trying really hard to. So yes, let's do it.
Well, God was kind enough to make us all so that we get to spend a third of our life fully unconscious, right? We love sleeping.
Yes.
Fitbit studied 6 billion nights of sleep. Oh, did you realize that Fitbit was watching you when you slept? Just like Facebook. The average person, according to their data, is sleeping around 90 minutes less than they did 100 years ago.
I believe it.
They started tracking users. It says no names attached. Sleep stages in March 2017 ended up with 6 billion nights of sleep. Now, look at there. That's men on the left, women on the right. What's the deal with you women? Get sleep a half an hour more than we do every night. What's up with that?
I bet we just go to sleep a half hour earlier than you usually.
I could be. But look at that. It's interesting. Even with the discrepancy in the sleep time, the REM time is just about exactly the same. Light sleep. Half the night we're just in light sleep.
On a good night.
Oh, is it that bad for you? Yeah. Well, here's what they say. Okay, you think, okay, that's fine to know, but what can I do about it? They say that going to sleep around the same time on a consistent basis is like one of the best things you can do. Mm-hmm. If you go to sleep at 11 o'clock on weeknights and wake up at 7 a.m., and then you go on weekends, you don't fall asleep till 2:30 a.m., wake up around 10, that's not a good thing. So for peak performance, you need to do like the same time every year. The more consistent you are, the better.
Train your body, kind of.
Right, train your body. And have you ever heard the 90-minute thing? Like the REM cycles are supposedly like around 90 minutes. So your best sleep is going to be either 3 hours, 4.5 hours, 6 hours, 7.5 hours.
Are you a good sleeper?
I can fall asleep on a dime a lot of times because... Really? Well, because of years of waking up in the middle of the night, of sleep deprivation. So it's a good thing, but it's probably not a good thing that I can do it.
I sleep the best in the car, like a little baby just gets rocked to sleep. I sleep really well in the car, but then I'm a very light sleeper in bed. I just hover like a Roomba when I'm actually in bed. It's just like, I don't actually sleep. I'm just docking. So.
You hover like a ghostly, almost dead relative that's still sleeping.
That's exactly it.
That's what you should do too. If you have like a really good housekeeping relative, you just somehow, you know, record their voice, computerize it, and then attach them to a Roomba. Or Roomba, whatever it's called.
So weird. Oh my gosh.
Well, that's the word on sleeping. The women, 6 hours 50. If you didn't look at that chart while it was up, women, it's an average 6 hours 50 minutes a night. Poor guys. There's no wonder I have these bags under my eyes. Men, 6 hours and 26 minutes.
Okay. Yeah, that's not enough for anybody.
And everybody in the survey says they're not getting enough sleep. But, yeah, you know, of course, anytime there's a survey that involves the bedroom, everyone says they're not getting enough. But that's story number two. You ready for story number three?
Yes, I am.
I thought you would be. All right, now some romance. We've had the dark side of, you know, undead relatives. We've had, you know, the futility of sleep. Let's get on to romance, shall we?
Let's do it.
The biggest wedding trends for the year from The Knot. Did you use The Knot?
I did not. It's a good resource, but I didn't personally use it.
Well, they, you know, of course, are all things wedding, and they've come out with the top trends for 2018. Vibe over palette. I just stop and think about what that even was. Instead of focusing on, and I work for a place called Vibonomics. Instead of focusing on the color scheme for the occasion, a lot of couples are starting their planning with a theme or words that describe what they're looking for.
Yeah, I can see that.
Asking for cash instead of registering for things like stemware in China. More couples are just looking to get money.
Yeah.
Balloons and arches. Why spend all that money on flowers when balloons are totally in for centerpieces? Some folks are even using them to create arches around the altar. So there you go. Balloons are hot. Instead of a band or a DJ, sorry, my fellow DJ brothers. I used to play records of weddings a long time ago. The hot trend now, though, is having couples keeping the fun going all night with a variety of entertainment, sketch artists, tarot card readings, and more. And that comes under, as you see there, little sketches people do, unexpected entertainment. Past cake bites are in. Over-the-top cakes are out. Small past cake bites are in, brought to guests so the party doesn't have to stop for, you know, everybody to line up the big cake. But if you do stick with a big cake, more opting for personalized and hand-painted cakes. And there you see non-traditional venues. More couples will be skipping the catering hall and opting for unique locations like historic libraries, large homes, and even boxing gyms.
Or Canada, like how we did it.
Nobody gets married in Canada.
That's not true. I like all this. I approve. I approve. Brides, keep doing it. That's a pretty dress.
What about this? Big bouquets are out. Single-stem statement flowers are in, as are baby's breath, which are great for things like flower crowns and other small hair pieces.
Yeah, flower crowns are awesome. I'm glad. This is a good direction. I like all this. A little less fussy, a little more personal. I like it.
I've got a flower crown on right now as a small hair piece, and it's working out great for me.
When I picture you, in a flower crown.
strapless wedding gowns aren't as hot as they used to be. No. Well, it just says you. I mean, it depends on who it's on. More and more brides are opting for some kind of sleeve. Others are wearing things like sheer capes, like Batman. Or lace capeless. I don't know. Are any of the guys who are watching our feed right now tracking with any of this? A lot of this is like, are weddings actually for, you've been involved in one. Do they involve any of the men that are present? Or is it really strictly is just a secret thing that ladies are doing?
Well, we eloped, so there was only one man present, and he did a fine job.
So did we. We didn't have a wedding either.
Really?
Yeah.
Paul, we're such trendsetters. Look at us.
Well, look at us. We've been married like, go down the hall and ask her, a long time.
Go down the hall and ask her.
35 or so years.
Thereabouts.
81, you do the math. It was December of 81, so.
Oh.
36?
I think we're 8 months now, so good for us.
You're right. Right behind me. Those are a few of the stories we have. The undead, sleeping, and marriage. What else is there left to find on the edge?
I love it. Can I talk to you and yell at you about the weather today?
Oh, my gosh. It's like, for several years, I did the weather for a South Bend radio station, and it was vexing. It was vexing and perplexing because, like, the forecast would be, the station covered, like, three counties, but the forecast would be 3 to 22 inches of snow because of the lake effect. Well, here, you got your Marion County, and then you got, your donuts, the counties around Marion. Are you familiar with that phraseology? Anywhere from less than an inch to 6 inches of snow. Earlier today, wrapped up.
Were we expecting that? We didn't talk about this last week, did we?
No, we didn't talk. Well, I think we talked about a chance of rain or snow in the middle of the week. But no, the day before forecast was like 1 to 3 inches over most of the metro area. So it ended up being...
It snuck up on us. And it's spring now, and it's broken. Somebody broke something.
Well, here's the odd thing, too. The snow, there wasn't a whole lot of snow out at the airport. There was it quickly grew as farther east you went. So out at the airport on the southwest side, it was like as of early this morning, it was less than half an inch. Anyway, it was just enough overnight to get the seasonal total up to 10 inches. Mm. Well, normally, by about this time of year, it's about 26 inches. So we haven't had much snow. So we're taking a really long time to get not a lot.
Yeah, but I'm over it.
I know, but that's the thing. I mean, you have to, I hate winter. Everyone knows my bias. Wouldn't it be better to get like, 3-6 inch snowfalls in the week before Christmas or something and just get it out of the way?
Agreed. I mean,
so I'm with you on that too. Anyway, now we have a chance of maybe seeing a little more rain and or snow on Saturday.
No, I reject it.
No. I'm against it
and I veto it. What about Monday? Because that's my birthday and I feel like I should get to pick the weather on my birthday.
That looked like just plain rain. Yay!
Great. Nothing says happy birthday. Like,
are any of these numbers on the 7-day forecast corresponding to your?
No, Paul Poteet. No, I will not be turning 51 on Monday.
Well, all of them are. None of them are up to my number, so don't feel bad.
No, actually, I'm not on that point. I'll be 32 on Monday.
32, a kid. 32 on my, well, 32 is an important weather number, as you know.
And,
unfortunately, Friday night, Saturday morning, we're below 32. So we could see a little more slipperiness if you're going to be out late Friday night, you know, reschedule that party. And then if you're out Saturday morning, there could be a little snow around. It could, that rain on Saturday could begin and end as snow or a wintry mix. So focus your attention on Saturday. The good thing about March snows is typically they don't hang around long. And a lot of it did melt on the roads or sidewalks as it fell last night. And we're going up to the mid-40s Thursday and Friday, so that helps. But, yeah, Saturday is not pleasing me either. And then it gets a little milder overall next week. And, yes, it could rain on your birthday. Someone left Britney's cake out in the rain.
Do we have any reason to believe that spring and sun and flowers will happen at any point this year?
I hope so. The guy that does my my yard emailed me last night and said, when are we going to be able to get out and do yards and things like that and put, you know, crabgrass stuff down, things like that. Yeah, I know.
It's time, friends. It's just time for it to be pretty.
It's spring. It's spring. Time for people to go into a spring mode.
Yes.
So,
it's time to drink rum during the day with umbrellas.
Do you like pina coladas? Cheers. See you soon. Bye.
Hey, Sides of Sheet is proud to be the title sponsor
of rum.
No. Of rum and pina coladas. What a great segue. Hey, Sides of Sheet is a title sponsor for Edge of Indy. I wanted to share with the listeners of the show a special offer. We provide digital marketing strategies here at Site Strategics on a regular basis, and it goes without saying, but I'm going to say it right now, that we're constantly asked about the question of return on investment when it comes to digital marketing. I mean, that's truly what you should be focused on with any digital marketing firm, right?
Right.
There we go. So would you like to discover your marketing ROI? Why not have a second opinion to have a look? So you can actually go to the site URL right there, offers.edgeofindy.com/ROI, and just submit some information to us, and we can get the conversation started about what it looks like for you and what we can do to be able to give you that snapshot of return on investment. We do an SEO audit. We look at your social media. We go into paid marketing, conversion analysis, all the things that Site Strategics does on a regular basis. We can actually give a snapshot to you so you can see how your marketing is benefiting you right now. So offers.edgeofindy.com/ROI.
This is Edge of Indy, showcasing Indianapolis tech trends, marketing industry champions, and business innovation. Broadcasting from Edge Media Studios. Now, let's get back to today's topic.
Do you know who's in the house? Buggy's in the house. Look it over here. Look at this. Look at this. Buggy's in the house. Oh. Check it out.
Oh, wait. Let me get rid of the glare. There we go.
That is such a cool character. And guess who brought it in the house today? It's Maggie Held, founder of Scribfolio. Maggie, how are you doing today?
I'm doing great.
Who's Buggy?
So Buggy is actually basically the mascot for Scribfolio.
Yeah.
And rightfully so.
Right. He's actually a creation of my daughter. She does a lot more than a lot of the artwork for Scribfolio. She works for me. She comes home from school, and I'm like, oh, yeah, before homework, I need you to do
like
12 characters. Yeah, so she does a lot.
But do you pay her? No.
I pay her with love. And then my son does the writing, so I have a whole team. And my wiener dogs just support.
Mascot, yes.
So without giving too much away, can you introduce our viewers and listeners to your product? We'll talk about how it works in a moment, but what is Scriptfolio?
So Scriptfolio is a Scribble Play activity book. Mm-hmm. And so this is kind of a sample of some of the scribbles that you'll see inside. So this is our newest like dry erase version. And so you open it up and it's kind of like looking at the clouds. Okay.
Yeah.
So when you were a kid, you used to look up. So you look at a scribble and you turn it here. Do you see something? Mm-hmm. And then you go like this. Oh, do you see? I kind of see something there.
I'd like to point out that you've lost him and he is already scribbling in his own book.
And then you turn it there. Maybe it's a spaceship. Maybe there. Yep. And you can always imagine, you know, in a cocktail party setting, the types of things that
Maggie, I was going to bring that up. This is a great drinking game.
Well,
ghost.
Actually, yeah, that's awesome.
Kind of a weird green-eyed ghost. What? What?
Thank
what?
You for the sound effects, too.
Ghost. Well, and I have had some toy companies that really want me to do an adult table game. So
yeah, yeah.
I'm working on that as well.
Very cool.
If you need help with that one, you let me know.
So they're encouraged to, once they see something, like seeing things in the clouds, then they add to it. They give it a hat, feet, shoes, maybe it's on a spaceship, and then you're encouraged to add water, maybe the sun. So just to kind of give you an idea of some of the artwork that has passed our way, this girl, and I actually have her information somewhere, but she's in Fort Wayne, so if she's watching, she was our prize. I don't know if you can see it with the glare.
Got it.
That scribble that made this is this one. I can find. Oh, I'll find it in a minute. The scribble that made it. So she is basically added everything. Uh-huh. Okay. And the tagline, you can't see it. It's like how the chef passed away instead of passed away.
So
obviously, she's going to be working for Ogilvy one day.
Oh, that's clever. Good job.
Right. And so then also that same scribble, this. Right, so you can see, it's just one person will see a spaceship, the other person's going to see a witch, and so, and then people look at it and they're like, I cannot believe that came from the same scribble.
Yep. See,
right.
I'm already doing it.
I like that.
Hold on.
I like what you've done there.
Can you describe what you think that is that you just drew?
It's somebody with a big stinky foot.
Well, I was actually going to say that looks like, oh, now I see it.
But of course, I just got started. And
Okay.
Don't distract me.
I'm
trying to
see. I thought
it
was a guy with a big nose, and that was
his
hair.
It is, yeah. Yeah, that's the guy. Yeah, but giant foot.
Giant foot.
Okay. I'm trying very hard to see what you're seeing. And add some more detail.
Add some more bourbon in my coffee, and I'm fine. See? I will work on more detail.
Yes,
thank you. All right.
Yes, I just need a little more detail to see what you think you see there.
Okay, fine. I'm going to put toenails on.
Okay, while you do that, I'm going to ask Maggie a question. Okay. So keep up your artwork. Keep going. See, this is going to be very interesting. So I'm going to talk a little bit about you because you have an interesting history and where you landed is pretty interesting to me too. So you are a professional singer, dancer, and actor for over 25 years. You performed on cruise ships and at places like Opryland, which is awesome. And now you're doing this. So how has this come to be? How did this come into your world?
Well, I actually started working after I left New York. I went back down to Florida and I started working for a children's theater company and realized that I should have been doing children's theater the whole time because I love day singing. I love waking up and going to my job. And when I did theme parks, that's what we did. I had to be at work at 9 and do 4 shows and go home. So when I got to New York, I was like, wait, I have to be at the theater. When?
Wait, at night? Night? Are you saying
that's
night?
Not really going to work for me. So I just loved children's theater and everything that kind of went with it. They're the best audience ever. I worked for a company called Stages Productions. They're fantastic. And so I started, I don't know, wanting to get more involved in plays, maybe writing plays. And then when I was up in Northwest Indiana, I kind of came up with a concept, but immediately thought, oh, well, this will be a great play.
Mm-hmm.
And we'll tour it. And so that's kind of how it got started.
Mm-hmm.
And then we were just working on the play. I was going to get a composer. And you know, then I pretty much brought it back to life around 2014 and revamped it and just focused on the product. But so I guess somewhere in that theatrical situation is kind of how I segued and just had the idea. But I think I've always kind of had that entrepreneurial spirit. I just ended up performing kind of thing.
You have a great energy.
Yeah, super energy.
Best energy.
I'm told to drink less coffee all the time.
Now, so am I. See?
Whoa.
Fight the power.
Right?
Fight the power. Yeah. They don't know what they're talking about.
Oh, I'm supposed to tell you, stop drinking
coffee. Oh, see? Wet blanket, fight the power.
Right.
For his health and wellness. He's supposed to stop.
Whatever. All right, so so this is where you come from, but you also just came back from a toy fair.
Yes. Yes.
So how and where was that, and what did you learn there?
Well, that was in New York, mm-hmm. and I'm involved with Women in Toys, which is an amazing organization based, well, they have a big chapter in Chicago, but it's all over.
Okay.
Members, there's a ton of members. They do a tremendous thing for the toy community, for reaching out. They've got these webinars that are unbelievable, so I'm so happy to be a part of this organization. So I actually went to Toy Fair to volunteer for the Women in Toys and volunteer for the Women in Toys Gala, and that was my first time seeing Toy Fair at its finest. And then in June, I will be exhibiting at the Astra Toy Show. And that's a smaller specialty toy show. This will be my second year. And then I'll also be exhibiting at Destination Imagination Global Finals.
Oh.
And so that'll be coming up in May. So
you don't have a lot going on at all. You've got a lot of free time.
Right, exactly.
All right. So that's awesome. But let's talk about this.
Oh, sorry. Sorry. I didn't mean to hurt it. I'm sorry. It's fine.
So I'm doing a little stinky foot.
All right. Yeah, that's good.
There it is. All right, stinky foot.
It hurts me.
You wanted some more detail. There
that's
you
amazing.
Go.
Amazing.
So this is what Scrifolia is. How does it work? Who's it for? And we're already doing it, but we want to make sure
let's
that
do some more.
We're going to do some more here.
Well, it's. You know, you say it's for everyone, and nobody likes you to say that. They're like, oh, no, you need to give us three people that it's good for. You know what? Everyone likes you to hone it in. But the truth of the matter is, it really is good for everyone. We're doing a lot with memory care right now. Like I said, we do a lot with the Destination Imagination. And I don't know if you don't know what that is. It's really smart, scientific, creative, theatrical kids. Mm. And they're just our demographic. But so it also works for therapy, just regular therapy. You're trying to figure out what is going on.
Right.
You build a character. You can ask questions about the character. And special learning, gifted and talented.
Absolutely.
And then, of course, developing the adult game. So there really is just a lot of compartments that it's good for. But if we had to say one, we'd say 7 to 10 kids, creative, that love to draw and love you know, to kind of see things.
And 48-year-olds as well.
Right.
Okay. You are just going crazy.
I know. This is awesome.
Oh, I really like what you're doing. I can see that. That's really good.
Oh, it's awesome.
See? All right. So I'm doing a hot rod here.
Oh, that little face is really cute.
Yay.
Question.
Yeah.
What's the orange part?
Flames coming back behind the
car. It's like the DeLorean. I just watched Back to the Future last night.
I saw a DeLorean on Delaware Street.
DeLorean on Delaware. That sounds like a
I'm sorry.
Pub.
Yep.
That actually is
hopefully
a good
not because you'd probably get arrested. So it's a great activity for just opening up your mind and exploring and honestly, this is great for people that are in constant busyness and constant task orientation and in the knowledge business is that you need to give yourself a little bit of an oasis.
Right.
A mind break because there's so much stuff that we're accountable for all the time. Just dropping into a quick scribble, right? Giving yourself.
He's so excited.
This is great.
Almost like a warm up. You know, like a singer is going to have a vocal warm up. A dancer is going to have a dancer's warm up. What is the artist's warm up?
Yep.
And staring at a blank canvas is really intimidating.
That's daunting,
even for the best artists of the world.
Yep.
Having something like that to just get out of their head for a minute
might
give them an idea or take them a turn. So, so people that are doing animation, ad agencies, that kind of thing too, you know.
You've gotten some really good feedback around your product. Do you want to tell us some of the experiences that you've heard, whether it be from the parental perspective, from the kids themselves, kind of unload some of that on us
too?
Well,
you know, it's really cute to watch the kids. This one kid this weekend, I just went to a Destination Imagination Regional Finals, and it was the sweetest thing. When I really watched the kids, it was the sweetest thing I ever saw. I mean, these kids come in and they have just, you know, they're not with their parents. They're with their team leader. So they maybe have, you know, $10 or whatever, and they could go buy a pen or whatever.
Huh.
And they're at my booth, and they're just like, well, I want this. And the one kid bought his friend one. It was the sweetest
thing.
Good
job, Timmy.
How many did you give
so
away?
Sweet. I know, right? I wanted to get, but it's just to see them just engage. And to hear them say, I love Scriptfolio. Scriptfolio is like the coolest thing ever.
You're
and
like,
just,
I'm sorry, can you speak into the microphone and can I record this? Yeah. Can you write your name on this?
But they just and really, it's the kids. Yeah. I mean, the parents love it because they're like, oh, thank you for keeping my kid entertained. Because
for 5 seconds?
Right, exactly. But to the kids are really grateful. And I think a lot of times if you're in a learning setting where maybe you aren't the best reader or maybe you're not the best at math, but you have the best Scriptfolios, well, that's something. That's
level of street cred.
Right. Absolutely. And so I'm reaching out to that kid that, you know, is looking for just that acceptance or trying to figure out who they are. What are they good at? Yeah. Are they, you know, because some kids might have an amazing story, mm-hmm. right? The other kids might have the amazing art, right? So someone comes up with the car, the other person tells a story about the car, and then the other person presents it.
It's a conversation, and it's a binding moment where everybody's talents, irrespective of how they came to it. I mean, they can really unpack, and it can be a great, what do I want to say?
Team building.
Yeah,
really.
Team building. Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Right.
Now, you have great opportunity to kind of crowdsource different scribbles. Now, no offense to your daughter, right? Mm-hmm. These are awesome. Okay?
Oh, actually, I made those. She's the one that does the art.
Oh, gotcha.
I'm actually the scribble artist, believe it or not. She's the one that turns them in. No, my scribbles are bad.
No. I think he was about to tell you his are better than yours, by the way.
No. No, I'm just saying is that, I mean, I get the fluidity that you're doing. My daughter, 14 years old, and she does these coloring inside of these really ornate, they're almost like... these mosaics or these, it's all the black deep lines and it very much looks like Tibetan type of what are those things called? Mandalas, right?
Right.
So those are, but she loves filling in the colors and she makes that hers, right? And
it's there are apps like that on the phone too. Does she know that? There's apps that do that too.
No. I lied.
There's no apps on your phone.
Right. There's no way you can color on your phone.
Absolutely not.
It's very expensive and you can't afford to buy it.
Help separate me from my daughter more, Brittany. Thanks. But there are a lot of different avenues where we're coloring and input go. So you can have some really fluid type of things like this. But you could also have a whole different sets of different types of scribbles and imagination starters. This is what this is all about.
Right. Imagination starters.
It's like
exactly.
a cornerstone of what mm-hmm. to just be able to springboard into their own design. So have you thought about bringing different artists or different crowdsourcing of types of...
Right, different types.
Yeah.
No, that actually would be a really fun contest.
Yes, it would.
So, yeah, you can almost build a team like we were talking about, and you build a team. One person makes the scribble. The other person draws it or print. Yeah, that's a good idea.
You can have a lot of sharp edge type of scribbles, right? And mandala type of things.
Right.
And you can have almost like categories of different, start your imagination here kind of thing.
Right.
I think we just had a focus group on this.
I know. It's the best.
Okay, so for parents out there looking for creative outlets for their kids, as we head into spring break and summertime, what do you have to say about the importance of fostering creativity and imagination?
Well, a lot of car rides, right?
Yeah.
Okay, so this is definitely something fun that a family can do in the car, especially the new wipe away one because you can just pass it around. Mm-hmm. And then the peel pads here are, just more doodle pads, and that's for people that really don't want to give away their art. To be honest, I prefer these because I like to do it with a pen.
Yep.
So a lot of times in restaurants, you're sitting there.
Absolutely.
This is the perfect activity because it pretty much takes about 20 minutes around the time that your food's going to cook.
Yep.
So, this is great for a lot of traveling. And, of course, it's that time of year. Everyone's anxious. They're wanting spring.
Yep.
So it's a really good way to kind of get that energy back because
it's a craziness saver.
Right, exactly.
In fact, we're in the middle of spring right now. We got two little guys that are literally chewing each other's legs off. And it's
I hope not.
There's
literally.
A level of it.
It's that time of year.
No, I caught them with one the leg in the kid's mouth. I mean, Zane and Luke, and they just go at each other, and we need to really.
He needs some books to take home. Can you take some pads? Yeah.
This will save us from cannibalism right here.
Well, and also too, another thing is it starts a conversation, right? And we're always kind. I mean, mm-hmm. we're yes, we need to sit down at the dinner more, but, you know, it's hard. Mm-hmm. Basketball, all of these things. Yep. So this, when you're working in, there's two people working in Scriptfolio, it's impossible not to talk. Because you want to know what they're doing. What is it that you're doing? What did you draw? So it starts a conversation, and then people talk about input and perspective. Well, I don't see that. Well, if you look this way, you can see it. And then acceptance of other people's work. So communication, which we know is a lost art right now. So
I mean, literally, this can actually this is a counter to the little kids getting sucked into the phones. And I mean, these phone babysitters, these devices, I mean, honestly, let's talk about that, because kids lose their imagination in these gaming spaces. You know, no offense. Well, yeah, a little bit of offense, gaming companies, because I mean, gaming, trust me, across the board.
Well, it's a opportunity for them to. Well, it's off-screen time, obviously, but it's an opportunity for them to create something out of nothing. And here is what they do. Ponder.
Yeah.
When you look at this scribble and you look at it from every angle, you are pondering. How many times does a kid today ponder? Not much. Because everything is told for them. This is what you're supposed to think. This is what you're supposed to wear. So, I mean, they're not even creative with fashion anymore. Right. You know, so it's kind of like ponder.
Yep.
Oh, think, ponder, you know.
And honestly, and parents with digital media native kids need to kind of have some introspection into how much ponder time do their kids have. You know, Legos are a fantastic
space.
Right?
Wonderful, yes.
And we were just doing some Lego time last night, and it was just, okay, hey, yeah, it's just those points of oasis where all the chaos is away, and you can literally see how your kid's mind works, you know?
Right. Well, my husband, literally before I came in here, was just talking about, I don't know how we got on the subject of what would happen if there was no electricity.
Right.
He's like, be awesome. You know? I mean, it just board games and classic, you know, we play Risk. We play those old classic board games where it's all about strategy.
Yep.
And, you know, it's just, I think, and, you know, everything is in full circle, and history repeats itself. And board games are really big right now, and you know, drawing activities and those kind of they're going to make a comeback because we can't keep going on this digital ride forever.
No, I mean,
our brains will melt.
Right,
they honestly will, because there's dopamine injections that are happening with all of the different stimuli that's happening in the video game space, right?
Right.
And the gamers know what they're doing. The point is, you got to pull back from that and be able to have that ponder moment, be able to have the space in which they're just not getting that constant eye candy drip,
right?
And they can actually get in and be more and more creative. This is a fantastic thing. I gotta say, just being a parent with four kids, I know that this could actually prevent a lot of battles,
and get to know your kids.
Yeah,
you know, you get to know your kids, and you talk about it. And I had one of my friends. She said, "What being able to talk to her granddaughter, you know, it's just, you know, how finding a way to connect when it's really hard."
So I have two questions for you. Mm-hmm. One is, can I take some of this home to my niece Paisley?
Absolutely.
Hi, Paisley. She's 7, going to be 8 soon, and she would think
she'll love it.
Awesome. And then B, how can people get their hands on this?
Okay, so, well, we're at Kit and Caboodle on 146 and Carmel. Mm-hmm. So I think everybody, if you're not already shopping at Kit and Caboodle, you should. It's fantastic. They have wonderful toys there. And then we're in various specialty. We're in Brilliant Sky Catalog, and that's some stores in Nashville, and they've got some stores all over, obviously, at scriptfolio.com. And we're on Amazon right now with some older product, but we will soon be launching our new page on Amazon where you can get our newest product, and that should happen in, you know, the next month. So we're on Amazon, but I'd wait a month until we, like,
on the
red carpet.
But still, go to scriptfolio.com so you don't have to pay that Amazon commission, right?
Right. don't make Amazon mad. We love you, Amazon. He doesn't mean it.
Sorry, Alexa.
Yeah, exactly. And our phones are listening now, too.
It just lit up.
And then you said you are developing an adult version, too?
We are in the process of developing an adult-like
drinking game version?
Kind of, yeah. Kind of, pretty much.
Where, nothing could go wrong there.
Drunk and scribbling.
So, and in fact, one of the toy guys that I was talking to, he's like, I need your scribbles to be dirtier. And I was like, okay, I'll work on that.
Holy moly.
Oh, God.
There's a whole other genre.
I was not expecting
that. I wasn't really talking about crowdsourcing that.
Well, yeah,
well,
right.
Well, there's some crowdsourcing opportunities.
So hopefully we will be coming out with, and then what I would really like to do, to be honest, I would love to have a universal table game that it's like you can play with your kids or you can bring it to a party and be the hero.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So I'd like to figure out a way to kind of make it one universal game.
Focus group. We need a focus
group. I know.
This
we
is
do.
This is awesome.
Okay. We'll see you here one time every week until we have this all figured out.
All right. So check out scribfolio.com. That's S-C-R-I-B-F-O-L-I-O for all those playing at home. Well, I'll throw that link on the screen. There it is. And go check them out at facebook.com/scribfolio, Twitter, scribfolio, and Instagram, scribfolio. You've got them all. Check, check, check.
Good job, Maggie.
Excellent. So maybe final words for the parent at home that is struggling to maybe break the kids from the device addiction, or help, you know, if they have a child that has some challenges, what can they do for their kids?
Well, I mean, I think something like this, it's really quick, doing it with them.
Yes.
Sitting down and having it be like a thing that you do together as a game, and then talking to them afterwards, and not like, oh, how was that experience? Not kind of like that, but just ask them questions about, I mean, everybody loves to talk about stuff that they've created that, that's personal to them. And so just kind of having conversations and really setting aside time.
Yeah.
You know, it takes 5 minutes, it takes 10 minutes, it takes 25 minutes, and really, you know, trying to play board games and trying to have that family time where you just talk and the phones are put away. It's hard to do.
Yeah.
It's hard for all of us.
That's right. The parents have to actually get rid of their phones too. How about that?
Right, exactly. No, it is. It's hard for all of us. And you know, but I love that little cage.
Yeah.
There was a little cage that someone bought me.
You lock all the devices.
Yeah, you lock them in.
Yeah.
Yeah. So we have to do what we can to connect with our kids. So.
Well, and even like 10 or 15 minutes. I mean, just for 10 or 15 minutes.
Exactly.
Think about like all the laughter, a good 15 minutes of laughing. You're set for the day.
Absolutely. We have to laugh. We have to be creative every day, and we have to laugh every day.
Yeah.
Fantastic. Well, thank you so much, Maggie.
Thanks,
Maggie. And it's great energy that you've got, and we wish you all the best in the world. You're certainly tapping into something that is needed in this digital age.
Yeah, well, thank you so much for having me. This has been fun.
You're more than welcome. More than welcome. I am going to continue scribbling.
Oh, yes. That one's yours. Absolutely.
All right. So, hey,
you
thanks.
You have to share some of them on the table, though.
No. Mine. I can only imagine that if they start, and the competitive nature of my kids, if one wipes one away.
No.
Oh.
Yes.
We gotta get the permanent ones.
Yes, you need one of those. Absolutely. And this you can peel off and give to grandma.
I see Paisley ripping that out and like trying to sell it on the playground. Like, and here's my art. Yep. I'd like to buy
that's
this.
An entrepreneur. Yep. That's fantastic.
That's my sister is an artist and she did that when she was little too. Would sell her artwork in the kindergarten playground. She got in trouble.
But well, what is she doing now?
She's an artist now. Look at her go.
See?
Look at her go.
That's fantastic.
Good job, Brianne.
All right, we'll try this again to wrap up. It's great to be able to have these type of entrepreneurs and movers and shakers from Indiana. It's great to be able to showcase what's happening here, the talent that we have here. So dig into history and be sure to find out what's happening regularly on the show. Kudos to some entrepreneurs that's creating a great product here and again going national. So be sure to go to Kits Caboodle and also buy online at scribfolio.com. It's a great product for parents. So for all of us at Site Strategics, thanks so much for watching and tune in next week as we're going to come up with some great Indiana innovators and entrepreneurs. Until then, thanks so much and bye-bye.